You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest on the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to Apply. All right, so this is a very long-awaited interview here. You don't know how long I've been trying to get the Think Light guys on here. So I have Dinesh Wadhwani, who is the CEO of Think Light. I have Danny Wadhwani, who is the COO and CFO. Yes, that if you've guessed, they're brothers and they're busy. They got a lot going on and excited to learn more about Think Light today. I mean, Clean Air Challenge, the White House Building Challenge. I mean, a lot of different things going on. And Dinesh and Danny are really in the center of it with clean air and their purification system. So we'll start this up. First off, guys, welcome to the show. Glad I could finally get you on.
Glad to be here, buddy. Thanks for finally making it happen.
Thank you, Adam. We appreciate it.
All right. So you guys are my eyes and ears when it comes to clean air, building systems and purification. So I'm excited to get into this, but we'll start this episode the way that we start them all with our Mission Matters Minute. So our mission here at Mission Matters is to amplify the stories of entrepreneurs, executives, and experts. That's our mission. What mission matters to you?
So at Think Light, you know, we believe in developing and bringing technology to the world that solves the biggest problems we face as a race. You know, wellness and sustainability is what we believe is the biggest challenges we face today. Our solutions cater to energy efficiency, crop yield, and most importantly, indoor air quality. We believe that if the more the world can understand and be educated about the impact of air quality and what its solutions can do, we could change lives, we can save lives, and we can really help move the needle in making the world a much more safer and a well place to be in. So that's what we do.
I love it. Changing and saving lives. I mean, what could be better? Awesome to have you guys on. And first off, I have to start off the interview with this. I mean, working as brothers, entrepreneurs, like how did all this get started? Like, I don't have any siblings, but I mean, I feel like I've seen some other ones that I'm like, I don't know if I could do it. Like, how did all that start? Tell me more.
So Dinesh and I were born and raised in Ghana, West Africa. Our dad was a businessman. Our grandfather was a businessman. And growing up, we were always raised with this value mindset that together we would be more successful than if we were working individually on something of our own. And we grew up with this joint vision or dream that at some point in life, we would work together, we would own a business together. Luck and fortune had it that it was about 10 years ago when Dinesh and I started working together full time. ThinkLight was a company he started out of his dorm room in Babson in 2009. And ultimately, by the time he was graduating, we had realized that this was a solid opportunity, something we wanted to scale together to the next level.
Yeah.
So I quit my job. I was working with PricewaterhouseCoopers at the time, doing M&A consulting. Dinesh graduated and we started our first full-time journey, really, on growing the Think Light business. As brothers, I'll tell you, you know, it was never something that was an easy journey, but it's always been a fulfilling journey. You know, the first year, two or three, we got to realize that we both had a natural skill set for certain functions of the business, of certain natures of people we would relate to. Yeah. And I guess looking back at this journey, it's been about, you know, a decade now.
It is.
We've come to realize that the clearer we've gotten on what we do best, the more we've come to appreciate how much we complement each other. Yeah. And, you know, I've got to tell you, I'm just so grateful that we get to spend each of our days scaling and working on Think Light. I just wouldn't have it any other way.
It's awesome.
And just to add to that, you know, in any good partnership, there's complementary skills, which, you know, we were blessed to have, right? That was not planned. Yeah. But then the brotherhood comes in and the family comes in with the trust as well. So what makes this really important or really helpful for us is the fact that, you know, we have complementary skills and there's that trust. So it forms a great partnership.
It's amazing. And so taking us back to, you know, the dorm room days, right? 2009, not exactly the most, for some, you know, optimal time to be starting a business, right? 2008, we're still in the middle of all this mess and the economy. And I'll tell you why I asked this question I'm about to ask. We're, you know, pandemic, ending that and on to hopefully the next phase of a lot of innovation and other things. But there's a lot of people out there that are either entrepreneurs or, you know, would-be entrepreneurs. And a lot of them listen to this show. So I'd be interesting to hear your take on, you know, what it's like and what people should be thinking about when they're thinking about maybe entrepreneurial ventures or their next step. It could even be another job, because you managed to start some things when some would have said, you know, that's not always the best, you know, time to do it, right? We're in the middle of turmoil in the country. Right now, there's some people that say maybe we have some similarities or maybe we're going into some similar situations. So what kind of things would you tell, with the benefit of hindsight and experience, what kind of things would you tell some of those entrepreneurs out there today?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, irrespective of timing, it's never easy to start a business, right?
Good point.
right. But if you look historically, the biggest companies amongst that we live with today came out of times of recession, turmoils, shortages. So it is a trend that you cannot ignore. But in 2009, while it did seem when you look back that the world was breaking down, you know, with the recession, and on the flip side of it, there was a big push for sustainability. And, you know, with our mission of how we can use technology to solve, you know, relevant, important problems, that's where the first technology that we brought to market under our energy division came to life, right? We started a division where we would specialize in energy efficiency. Mm-hmm. And we brought to market for the first time ever a technology that had the highest level of efficiency in lighting. And that's truly who we are at the core of our business. Yeah. We're an R&D based out of Germany. We do a lot of design work right here in Boston, Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. And our partnerships with factories in Asia, we were able to bring technology that was 90% more efficient than traditional lighting and 50% more efficient than your typical LED lighting. This is just really high efficient LEDs to provide the highest reduction in carbon footprint. And that was the initial journey. And the natural evolution of that was, well, we are in buildings trying to solve problems for customers. We are trying to help them save money, right? We're helping reduce your energy footprint. On top of that, right? What else can we do for you, right? As a technology company. And what always lingered in our minds was, if you kind of think about it in the lighting industry, you have a light fixture in a ceiling, almost every feet in every single building. You have a fixture, you have power coming in. That's almost a miracle, right? Yeah. You got to be able to do more than just give you light and save money. And that was the mindset. And it was kind of natural that we got into doing smart sensors, automating the lighting system and the energy system to act in a smart way for futuristic buildings. And then you got into, well, we can also use advanced lighting spectrums to solve other problems like, you know, agricultural growth and poultry and livestock, where the spectrum of light can add additional value. Mm. And it was truly out of this mindset of being a business partner with who we work with. We got educated. We were privileged in 2015. When no one even imagined what a pandemic would be like. Yeah. We were privileged to work with hospitals and infection control professionals and surgeons who explained to us how airflow is in the building and how that's a major problem. And how when one in every 25 people that walk into the door of a hospital catch another disease from the air, you know, before they leave the building. And we were like, well, can we use some smart lighting and smart air ventilation to help solve that problem? And that's how one thing led to the next. And here we are 13 years later, where we formed a whole portfolio of solutions for, you know, grow, energy, and for air. And I mean, we've been doing the air stuff since 2015, really. What we thought was a niche in healthcare. And come the pandemic, and it's like, geez, you know, everyone needs this everywhere. It's not really a healthcare solution. So that's kind of how it started and evolved through where we are today.
It's a great story. And I'd be remiss. I mean, I have to bring this up. So when I first saw you guys sitting there and I saw the studio, what I was thinking of is like, and especially because you're in technology, I'm thinking Iron Man. It's almost like your robots are next to you. Like, tell us a little bit more about the robots you have next to you, so to speak. It's awesome. It looks amazing.
Sure. So what you see behind here is products from our ThinkLad Air division. Mm-hmm. This is the Icon Air Healer, and we have a Purelux 2x2 recess-mounted or ceiling-mounted fixture. Here's basically what it is. These are health-grade air purification systems where we try our best every single time to educate the world about when you buy an air purification system or an air monitoring system, what really are you looking for, right? Because the stuff that you get from Amazon or Best Buy, for example, people refer to them as the dustbusters. Mm-hmm. You do have a whole set of technology that can take care of pollen and allergens and pet dander, which is very important for asthmas and respiratory-related conditions. Mm-hmm. But it's not doing what people think they are doing, such as cleaning viruses, right? Cleaning viruses from the air is such a novel thing to many people since the pandemic, right? The silver lining of it is just accelerated education. But the particle size of a virus, whether it's, forget about COVID for a second, whether it's flu, tuberculosis, pertussis, C. diff, all these very detrimental diseases, they exist in the air as 0.1 micron particles. Mm. And you look around, there's not that much technology out there that can actually go down to 0.1 micron. Mm-hmm. So what you see in our air purification solutions is we have the ability to actually clean down to the viral load in the air. Mm. And you know what you see here goes into all kinds of commercial spaces, places where the most public, where you have a congregation of people that come and sit together for a long period of time. So this could be classrooms, this could be office conference rooms, lobbies, cafeterias, airports, where you want this to be there to minimize the risk of strangers being in the same space, right? So that's what these devices that you see behind us do for us.
Yeah, and for everybody that's listening to this on our podcast, just so you know, my reference is in the movie Iron Man, where he has all the other Iron Mans next to him. And if you remember that part, and they have the robots next to him. And again, this is for our audience that's listening. They're like, "What are you talking about? I can't see it." It's amazing. Like these things. I encourage you to go to our YouTube channel so you can see the video as well, so you can see the actual models. But that being said, I want to maybe take a step back here, because obviously, I mean, ThinkLad, you're ahead in what you're doing in the industry. The products are great. I mean, you've been doing this for a long time, but I want to maybe take a step back and talk a little bit more about some of the problems that you're solving. So tell us a little bit more about that, like whether it's the pollution side, the inefficiency, how it's helping business, commercial buildings, because I don't want to assume that our audience understands.
So, you know, it all started when we were working closer with hospitals. Initially, we were in there really doing energy efficiency projects. And like everything else we've done, our ears are usually to the ground. We're talking to the key facility managers, the head administrators. And that's when we were really educated on what HAIs were, hospital acquired infections, mm-hmm. how they spread, how big of an issue it is, and how much effort, energy, and resources hospitals put into trying to minimize these hospital-acquired infections. Now, we had developed solutions that allowed them to monitor their indoor air quality and to be able to monitor for viral loads in real time. We had developed technology that allowed them to install this equipment into their facilities. You know, you're looking at one fixture in the ceiling per patient room, a couple of fixtures down the corridor, and suddenly that space now has continuous air purification down to what we refer to as a MERV 19 level, eliminating all these viral load particles from the air. And luck had it that while we thought, as every other business division that we had, that this was going to be very much a niche for the healthcare industry, really focusing on hospitals, urgent care centers, and dental offices, when COVID hit, it really brought this awareness on what air quality meant to the forefront of everyone's mind. And now you look at us, you know, call it two-ish years post COVID hitting and everybody trying to understand what this meant. And it really reminds us as a human race on what happened with water, for example. There was a time where no one really cared about water testing or clean water. And it took a widespread global pandemic of cholera, of E. coli, mm-hmm. for people to really get serious about water. And then governments organizations, NGOs all came together and sort of really pushed for water testing, transparency in your water test results for each town. And suddenly there was a community that became very aware about the need to have clean water as a factor of promoting better health and minimizing sickness. And to use that same anecdote, that's exactly what COVID has done with air quality. Now, you could be in a school, you could be in your office, you could be in a hotel, or you could be in a restaurant. You suddenly realize that if COVID existed mostly in the air, and now the CDC and EPA has all the research that said, you know, you're more likely to get COVID you're a thousand times more likely to get COVID through the air than through a surface, you know. So that has just brought a greater sense of awareness to everybody's mindset. And that's where we're working with all these types of industries to solve the issue. And that issue here is minimizing the airborne transmission of disease.
Right. Man, and just to add to that,
Point though, I never made that connection. You're right. We didn't used to care about water. For the young ones that are listening to this that maybe don't know that piece of history, like look back, I forgot, like we didn't used to care about water. Go ahead, Dinesh. I just had to bring that out. You're right.
Of course. And that's the thing, right, is with what Danny said earlier about importance of air quality. Yes, COVID is front of mind, but not even, right? This majority of diseases are spread by the air. Look at the flu, for example. Over 10 million people get the flu in the U.S. every year, right? And asthma, one out of every 10 children has asthma, right? The CDC sent out a report just a week or two ago that 58% of our population today live in facilities that have a higher risk of catching airborne disease, right? That's a big problem, right? And just to kind of outline it for the viewers who don't fully understand is, when you think about being indoors versus outdoor, right? And sorry to scar some people with what I'm about to say, but when you're indoors, right? Whatever we breathe, whatever we exhale, right? The person in the same room is inhaling what we just exhaled. We are sharing the same air. And there's not much dilution versus when you're outdoor, you have unlimited air molecules coming in to dilute the air very quickly. In an indoor setting, you may have an HVAC or air conditioning system. Yeah. Your air is being cycled once every hour or once every 2 hours. And guess what? When it goes back up in the vents, it's being mixed with 5% of outdoor air. That's it, to dilute your carbon dioxide so that way you don't feel suffocated. And then it comes back in. So whether you are in a different office behind a closed door next to my office or in a subsequent classroom or in the restroom or in the kitchen, 95% of the air that we inhale in an indoor building is recycled. And we read stuff about pathogens existing in the air for 3-4 hours at a time, for days at a time, odors stay in buildings forever. So because we spend 90% of our time indoors on the average in this country, and you're breathing in 95% recycled air, just think about for a second the risk that you put yourself into. People come in and they're exhaling and it's just collecting and collecting and collecting. And the next person walks in and you inhale that. And that's where this big wake-up call is, right? We were just reading something the other day is, think about it this way too, apart from water. Look at what we go through in terms from a legality standpoint for fire safety, right? In every single room in commercial building, you have a carbon monoxide detector, right? Like a fire alarm. You have like a press break the glass button or a fire extinguisher. For a fire, that may happen maybe once every 10 or 20 years, right? Now, look at it in terms of this 95% recycled air situation. If when the pandemic first hit, which is a great example, is when 100 people in a building gets COVID in one day, very quickly, that starts to double. Now, if you double 100 people every day, right?
Yeah.
All it takes is 27 days for 7 billion people, which is the world's population, to catch it. Look at how exponentially the math goes. Now, take a step back. Why is it not that we have an air quality monitor that detects viral loads in the building and reactive air purification system to address these viral loads before it can spread so quickly, way faster than a fire, right? And look at the health hazards behind it. And that's the thinking that we try to educate everyone to say, here's what we are dealing with, and here's why you need to care about this.
You mentioned projects and things you've worked on. Obviously, there's a lot of them, and this is, we won't have the time to cover them all today, but like, tell me a little bit more about some of the work you've done.
So the reason that Dinesh just described really is the whole thinking behind the White House Office of Science and Technology rolling out what they call this White House Clean Air and Buildings Challenge that you touched on at the beginning of our chat. Mm-hmm. And really, that is almost the ultimate stamp of approval. You know, yeah. As a society, as a country, we have the responsibility to now minimize airborne disease transmission, mm-hmm. not just in our hospitals, not just for hospital-acquired infections, but for every facility we're in. And that's really what we've been spending our time and spending our energies focusing on right now. We're truly here to advance air safety in America. We truly want to help move the needle on this challenge, because be it the next strain of COVID or be it some new pandemic that may hit us as a human race 5-10 years down the line, if our infrastructure is set up with the right air monitoring and air purification devices, that's the only way we're going to be able to minimize that airborne transmission of disease. It's the only way we're going to be able to avoid 100 people getting COVID, cases yeah. doubling every day, and it being so widespread. So we spend our time primarily on a couple of key industries these days. You know, projects like hospitals, mm-hmm. projects within the public school districts and universities, you know, every classroom, every cafeteria, every library, every gymnasium, yeah. where the youth of our country, where the youth of our population is really existing, the safer they are, the more they're going to be able to enjoy these spaces and thrive. We're working a lot with office spaces. You know, there's this huge wave of people wanting to work from home, wanting better work-life balance. But mm-hmm. ultimately, you know, our institutions like Harvard have done research and really concluded that the number one concern people have today mm-hmm. is their health, safety, and wellness. Mm-hmm. And every office space that is now designing to have better outdoor spaces, that have better indoor air quality, that have air purification, are the organizations that are actually able to attract and keep their people in the offices. Mm-hmm. We're working with municipalities. You know, through this White House Air Challenge, they've received significant funding to outfit our court buildings, our town halls, our RMV buildings, everything that got backed up because of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. How do we install the right infrastructure in these spaces so that the next pandemic doesn't cripple us in the way this one did? So as much as it is a wake-up call, it is very much an opportunity for us to serve, given the products, the technology, and the business mindset that we have. And that's ultimately where we're focusing our time and effort.
That's great. It's great. And I know you told me kind of high level, and obviously you're working with a lot of, you know, large organizations, but maybe can you share a success story or something? Just a little bit more specific, because I want people to really understand what's going on and the significance of how big it is. Because when you say things, even just, you know, a little bit of education piece on how air is recycled, I don't think many people know that information. I'll be upfront on my end. I didn't know as much about this space until our interaction. So maybe tell us a story.
Absolutely. Talk about school.
Yeah, absolutely. So the most interesting piece of technology that I personally feel really makes this all real mm-hmm. is our ThinkLight Flare indoor air quality monitor. So as we've been describing, you put this in the building, mounted on a wall like a smart thermostat, and it will tell you what's in the air in real time, right? Now, if you think for a second, what kind of value you can get out of that, right? One big one that I'd love to share with you, where schools, universities uses, this becomes a great tool for measuring ROI for what type of measures to install in a building, mm-hmm. right? So if you think about it, when so many students get flu every year, or the pandemic has come, the government was quick to say CARES Act money, and schools are raising funds, and we need to buy hand sanitizer and do all this stuff, mm-hmm. right? Part of that was, let me adjust my HVAC systems. Let me buy some purification devices. These are all taxpayers' money. This is all valuable resources. How can we use these resources mm-hmm. to invest in measures that will give you the highest impact or the highest safety, right? And because air and airborne stuff is just something you cannot see, unfortunately, you ask any infection control person or a doctor, they will always talk about it like a broken record that is the biggest threat in the world. But it's just still hard to get the attention of people because you cannot see it, right? If you could see it, different story, right? But because you cannot see it, that's kind of where the lack of attention, you know, was the cause of it. Mm-hmm. So to answer your question about, you know, how is this thing used in the school system, here you have a superintendent or facilities director, you know, being pursued by all kinds of solutions. You know, this purification system
might be
is
an understatement, right?
truly, right? You know, God bless your souls, right? And everyone is trying to sell something or offer something that was going to save the world, right? And here's what we believe in. Hey, Mr. Superintendent or Facilities Director, don't just take what you see and assume that's the truth, right? We want to empower you to see the unseen of what's in the air, and then you make the right decision, right? So I can't tell you how many times, Adam, where we have gone in and we put in the flame monitor, and they thought that whatever devices that they bought was enough, right? Turns out that it wasn't taking care of the viral load, and the children are still, you know, in danger. Or they were about to sign millions of dollars worth of valuable resources to implement an air purification solution. And we advised and said, that's great, guys, but before you do that, do you want to test it out? Why don't you do a pilot, right? And they said, well, how do you do that? We're like, well, there is education, right? There's technology out there that you can actually use to see what's going on in a room. So how about this? Put it in and see how good or bad the air quality is. Now turn on your purification system and see what it does to the air quality. Is it truly taking care of the viral loads in the air when there's 20, 30, 40 students in it? And if the answer is yes, absolutely invest in it, right? And tell all your friends, right? But if it doesn't, you have been told it's doing, now you can see that and you go find the next better solution that will actually take care of the problem. So that's one thing that comes out of it, right? The other thing that comes out of it is think about being in the know. Imagine you're in a classroom now or an assembly hall and 10 people walk in, air showing is on green, is great. 20 people walk in, it starts to become red. You know that people that have come in, A, is either too many people for that room or people in there are a bit sick now, right? Before there's enough dwell time, split them, send them home, go get tested, because think about how many more people you can prevent from catching that sickness, right? Be it COVID, be it flu, be it ear infection. I mean, we've had superintendents call us and say, we saw a spike in this corner. We sent some students home. No symptoms, by the way. Turns out that 2 days later, someone had strep throat and the other guy had COVID, right? And thank you, ThinkLad, for this technology, because God knows how many more people would have gotten this, right? And before it was time for recess and they interacted with other kids, we just sent them home, right? And 2 weeks later, no other cases reported on campus. Thank you. That's the power of knowing the information, right? So we are fortunate enough to kind of hear stories like this every day. And it makes us feel that, you know, we got a responsibility here, you know, to educate the world on how to go about, you know, managing this newly identified problems, which most people outside the healthcare world didn't even know existed.
Yeah. And if you think about it, well, I'm just trying to put myself in the shoes of the superintendent or the, you know, the building facility manager, whoever it is that has to make these decisions all of a sudden over the last couple of years where they weren't necessarily, I mean, they may have understood part of it, but they definitely weren't probably specializing in health and in air purification or even some of the technologies that you talked about, like that's not part of their everyday discussion. So I think many of the people that watch this, that what you just now mentioned, they're probably blown away. I'm blown away. Like they're probably blown away as well. Like, wow, I didn't even know like that could be done. And you, and the thing with ThinkLight is you were so far advanced at this. Like this isn't, and one thing I like to kind of just bring out to the audience is that, or remind the audience, I should say, is that you're working on this way before the pandemic. And so you're working a lot of these problems in advance. So the technology, the other things you're doing, like it's almost like the world finally caught up to understand how important your work was. And is going forward now going to be even more crucial. So that being said, I have to ask, like, I know a lot of things must, but what excites the two of you right now, like at ThinkLight, like what's going on? What's big?
we look at just the journey we've started here with ThinkLight AI, and I say started rightly because, you know, this is probably the first time in our history where we're dealing with a problem that's much larger than a specific niche. And herein lies our responsibility to fuel how we're going to be able to get this solution out. The more people, the more organizations, the more facilities that implement this, the more we're going to be able to accomplish our goal of really advancing that air safety in America. So we've spent the past 18-ish months, you know, working with several companies across many different levels. So there are large HVAC companies who are building in these air monitoring systems and connecting it to their building management systems. Yeah. That's allowing them for the first time to control their HVAC systems based on viral loads. Traditionally, most HVAC systems have been ran based on the temperature in the room, your carbon dioxide levels in the room, and maybe your humidity. Now we live in this new world where you need to bring in more ventilation. You need to improve your air exchange if the viral loads are greater. We're working with hospitals to really implement the most advanced air purification solutions we have in their operating rooms, for example, because that is where they have the greatest need to ensure, in addition to any HVAC systems that they have, they're bringing in additional equipment that allows them to prevent the viral loads from being circulated into their HVAC systems. You know, we're working with schools that is allowing them to ensure that they're minimizing sick days. They're minimizing the number of students that are reporting as absent. And therefore, they're maximizing their funding and dollars from their local, state, and federal governments, because not many people know this. All of our public school systems get paid, and their budget is very much tied to their number of school days and the number of students that show up in their schools. And therefore, you know, what excites us is really is this newfound responsibility to scale this in a way that really allows it to reach all of these different markets, all of these different industries. You know, we're going to continue to enhance the product. We're going to continue to make it simpler, easier to use, smarter. We have a lot that we're working on right now with artificial intelligence. So how are you taking all this data on your air quality? How is it being connected into your building management systems? How is it automatically speaking to your air purification equipment? And how quickly can we get into this world where we don't have to think about it as much as we do today? Very much like your smoke alarm example or like the water example, we had created solutions that suddenly it wasn't top of mind anymore because you know your water is always being filtered. You know that when you hear the fire alarm, you need to evacuate your building. That's really what we're living through right now. And that's what we're going to continue to innovate on and to push forward on, because there needs to be a day, whether it's a year from now or 5-10 years from now, where we all walk into spaces that we know have continuous air monitoring and air purification with the visibility of this data that allows us to feel safe and gives us the information we need, where if we're walking in with a child who has a compromised immune system, we know that, hey, let's not go into this train station today because the air quality here is poor. Or if we're traveling with an old grandparent who you know is, you know, compromised as well, let's not take him to this clinic. Let's go to this other clinic because they have better air quality. Let's stay in this hotel versus this other hotel because, you know what, for 10 bucks more a night, I'm happy to stay in a place where I know the air quality is safer, is clearer, is purer. That's where we're headed as a community. And you know, our goal really is to help the technologies and the implementation of these technologies to make it easy for the building owners, to make it easy for the users to be able to digest and live in these environments.
Ah, it's well said. And I'm excited and I will gladly pay the $10 extra per night for that. And everything that you said, I mean, that's, I know it's going to take a lot of work. I know you both have a lot of work ahead of you to make this a reality, to do your part in this. That being said, if somebody has been watching this or listening to this and they want to learn more about ThinkLight and they want to follow up and connect with your team, what's the best way for them to do that?
I would say our website's the best first touch point. I mean, it's thinklite.com, thinklite.com. You know, we have a very passionate team that's really all about infection prevention and making a difference. We're working with all types of organizations, from small facilities to really multi-city tiered several building campuses. Mm. So reach out to us. We're more here to help educate and help you become aware of how to do things better, yeah, how to do things differently. Technology has come so far and continues to evolve at such a pace where it's no more as daunting or as tedious as it might be. You know, 2 years ago, you would actually have to take air samples and swab your surfaces to be able to understand what the viral loads were in the air. And the fact that you could look at this on the dashboard right now by installing monitors around is just a testament to how fast, you know, as human beings, we're developing, we're innovating, we're creating. So we're here to stay. We're here to make an impact. And we're here to genuinely add value to you and your facility. So our team and I really look forward to helping you do that.
That's great. And to the audience that are watching this, we'll put all that information, so the website, all that good stuff, in the show notes so that you can just click on the link and head right on over and check out ThinkLite. And speaking of the audience, if this is your first time engaging with the Mission Matters platform or listening to an episode, we're all about bringing on entrepreneurs, executives, and experts and having them share, you know, why they do what they do, how they're doing it, and also what we can all learn from and how we can all benefit from it. So if that's the type of content that sounds interesting or motivating or fun to you, we welcome you. Hit that subscribe button. We have many more mission-based entrepreneurs, just like Dinesh and Danny, coming up on the line, and we don't want you to miss a thing. Dinesh, Danny, just want to say again, hey, I really appreciate you guys taking time out of your schedule to come out on the show. Really been a pleasure working with you today.
Thank you, Adam. Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Adam. A true pleasure. Stay well.